Hi, this is Dark Journalist. Today, a special report on how the corporate media is attacking the independent media with the fake out of fake news. I'll be joined by the savviest media analyst around, author Alexandra Bruce, the publisher of the popular alternative media website ForbiddenKnowledgeTV.net. Now, Alexandra has been watching closely as the corporate media has launched their attack against independent voices after their own utter failure during the presidential campaign to do any real objective reporting. Now, in their desperation, they're calling anything but mainstream media fake news. How low and desperate will their attacks get as they're exposed before the whole world? Let's go ask Forbidden Knowledge TV's Alexandra Bruce.
McCarthyism is being reinvented now with the Portman-Murphy anti-propaganda bill.
The Dark Journalist Media Attacks Special Report. The Fake News Fake Out. Featuring an in-depth two-part interview with Forbidden Knowledge TV's Alexandra Bruce.
Alexandra, it's great to have you back on the show.
It's always great to be here. Thank you.
Now, you've been doing some great reports over at ForbiddenKnowledgeTV.net and really watching the rise of this, you know, fake news meme that's coming out of the corporate media and targeting the independent media. In essence, what they're doing is staving off their own dwindling numbers, because essentially the independent media showed them up during the election by getting it right. And the corporate media was so in the tank for Hillary that they couldn't really, you know, be anything other than a propaganda arm, and it's really cost them now. So now they're coming back. You know, the empire's striking back. Now we've noticed they're using some very unethical tactics to, in effect, censor free speech by coming up with terms like fake news. So my question is fake news the new conspiracy theory?
Well, yes, it is, because I think, you know, the CIA invented the term conspiracy theory, I think, back in 1966, and it stopped working, so they had to come up with something else. But I think it's going to blow up in their face, because it's just become completely evident to anybody with two brain cells to rub against each other that the corporate media is the Ministry of Propaganda. In fact, a lot of people are calling it that. The MOP, MOP, they're calling the corporate media is the Ministry of Propaganda for these interests. And I really think that the lines between big corporations and our government is very evident from the leaks of Hillary Clinton's emails and Podesta emails that our government isn't even ours anymore. It's run by huge corporations. I saw it firsthand, actually, when I went to film the BP oil spill. It became very evident to me that there was absolutely no line between BP and the military that was there to take care of the oil spill. And the media liaison was a professional crisis manager. That's what he did.
Oh, that's interesting.
And that's what so much of all of this is. And, for example, the Benenson Group, that were the chief strategists for Hillary's campaign, and that's what she needed. She needed full-time crisis management to manage her campaign because,
oh yeah,
you know, the list was endless of felony and treason, you know, that she's committed. It's outrageous. It's mind-boggling. And then now to see this Portman-Murphy bill that wants $160 million annual budget from the Pentagon to squelch independent media and or to pay independent media to run stories that they approve of is it's very disturbing, and it's expected to pass in the NDAA budget for 2017 as Obama leaves office. So, I mean, what planet are we on? What have we become? What is this? The weird part, obviously, is that Donald Trump his presidency is going to be the one that's going to benefit from this counter-propaganda bill, you know.
Well, of course, they did everything they could to keep Trump from winning and keep him out of the White House, and that strategy completely failed. And so it's going to be interesting to see what happens now that he's headed there.
Yeah.
What really amazes me, though, is that they haven't acknowledged the depth of the mistakes that they made during the election. And they continue to just flail away at anything they perceive as a threat to their ivory tower. You know, from Trump to the independent media, they're just going to hurl as many fake stories as they can out there and hope something sticks. It seems like a losing strategy.
They're not getting it. They're not learning. And I think that this the fake news thing is going to blow up in their face. The New York Times already, in what should have been a very profitable quarter, you know, the run-up to the presidential election should have been an extremely profitable quarter in terms of advertising, and they were off by 20%. They were down. So they lost money in what should have been an extremely lucrative period. So that says a lot. And what I've also just heard is that Carlos Slim, you know, the billionaire from Mexico, has a controlling share in the New York Times.
Definitely.
And he just gave them a $200 million loan. I mean, you know, what's really propping up the mainstream media? I'm beginning to think that they really are. They are the Ministry of Propaganda, and that they probably have, there might be black budget money allocated to them to stay alive, because like MSNBC and these people, they don't have, nobody watches them.
Right, exactly.
Compared to, you know, compared to like any number of really high quality independent, news outlets on the internet.
Well, there's definitely good competition for them now where there wasn't before.
Yeah, I mean, even compared to my little site, Forbidden Knowledge TV, you know, networks like MSNBC aren't really that much bigger. You know, I'm just somebody with zero budget over here, you know, and whose ads have been completely defunded and taken down, you know, because, you know, this, the stuff that we hear now about fake news and is actually an old story for me. I mean, they've been defunding people like me and putting people out of business. Some great people like Storm Clouds Gathering had one of the best YouTube channels for a while, but he was getting a huge number of views before. Now he's gone.
Well, this is a multi-pronged effect, and you know, it's their attack is multi-pronged. You've got the corporate media working hand in hand with the social media companies, and that includes Facebook and Google. And you know, one of the things that we're seeing is that they're trying to get together to put together this thing where they're going to curate the news. You know, we're going to weed out the real stuff for you. I mean, isn't that basically censorship and, you know, the kind of censorship that you'd get in, like, old Soviet Russia?
Absolutely. And they've been doing it with algorithmic filtering already.
Right. So let's describe what that is, for example. So if we see a term out there like Pizzagate or chemtrails, what they can do using this process is Google can make it so that when you plug that in, they can point you algorithmically to sites that actually debunk these ideas or investigations.
Exactly. The word, for example, there's been massive filtering all of a sudden. I mean, there was suddenly a unified effort worldwide. You have the mainstream outlets in the EU and the United States and the Pope all railing again, and Hillary, who's been fired and is no longer a politician anymore, lost the election, reemerged, you know, from her coffin or whatever in a purple pantsuit, and railed against the fake news as a danger or whatever. And
right, exactly. She didn't talk about regrouping the Democrats to win in 4 years with a winning strategy. She didn't talk about her own terrible mistakes that cost her the election, like calling the voters in the country deplorables. Really sort of, you know, showing terrible judgment in doing that, like no campaign I've ever seen. And, you know, the only thing she wanted to talk about was she wanted to sort of march in lockstep with the corporate media and go on about the frenzy of fake news and Russia, 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 you know. So these were the talking points. Absolutely amazing.
Absolutely absurd. It was absolutely absurd. It's laughable on its face. And the incredible myopia I guess it's the liberals, you know, the left wing in the United States, is astonishing, and it's really frustrating. Because many people who I love, you know, believe that stuff.
Absolutely. Well, I want to talk to you about that, too, because I know you've had these inter-family battles about this. But I do want to finish this on the social media part. Facebook, Google, you know, the crackdown on alternative media, it's basically trying to destroy the competition on the corporate media side and regain that market share that's been taken away by independent news services like you.
And I think that we should fight back, actually. I think that anybody who watches mainstream media, I don't. But when you start seeing them telling lies, I think that you should see who's advertising on those lies and that you should contact those corporations and tell them that you're sending back the products that you bought from them and that you want a full refund because they're supporting fake news. I think people, everybody, the populace, should fight back against this attack on so-called fake news and go for against the real fake news, which is the news that's being put out by the corporate media.
Okay, so let's talk. This is a good point to bring in all of the kind of McCarthyite tactics the Washington Post is using. Now, you know, the Washington Post recently taken over by Jeff Bezos, and I think you said that he's actually the sole owner now, which is pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. And we know they have a big history with Katharine Graham of being in bed with the CIA. Mm-hmm. But now their new McCarthyite approach was to create this list, which was a list of alternative media sites that they said were under the influence of the Kremlin. And just a few weeks after that list came off, which was supported by this site called Proper Not, which were these total hoax experts. So Proper Not put together that list with their own sort of internal thing. It's probably a paid for George Soros style operation. But as it turned out, The Washington Post, about 2 weeks later, had to add an addendum to that story saying, we don't even know, we can't really vouch for the credibility of Proper Not.
Couldn't, because Proper Not is like the most fake news internet site ever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like completely laughable on its face. It's so annoying how dumb and unsavvy and how out of depth the legacy media is as far as how information works.
Was this list a new low?
Yes, it was a new low. The publication of the Proper Not articles by the New York Times and the Washington Post are new lows for these two once respected media outlets. They have lost all credibility. Now they're gone. They're out of the game, as far as I'm concerned, and I think everyone should stay on them and boycott them, and really take a look at their advertisers and not buy and write letters to the editor saying I'm not buying these products anymore because they support you. They should write letters to the advertisers and say I'm not buying your products anymore because you support, you advertise, you subsidize the New York Times, which is a fake news outlet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right on. You know, the and the Washington Post thing, I mean, to revert to basically the Eurocommy approach because you can't stand on your own 2 feet and deliver real news as a way to take out your media enemies. I mean, that is a new low. I absolutely agree. But the media is desperate because they lost so much credibility during the election. They got the polls wrong. They got the vibe of the country wrong. They were in Clinton's camp. They didn't, you know, want to respect the Trump supporters when she was going into, you know, saying things about the Trump people were deplorable. You know, whatever side of the political fence you were on, it didn't matter because those were, you know, the whole tone of the campaign was so pro-Clinton, it was ridiculous. So now they've lost their credibility and their only response is to come after the alternative media.
Well, again, it's just, they were out of touch then and they're out of touch now. They don't even know how to remedy the situation. They're in a upper middle class, East Coast, New York, whatever, bubble, and they don't think that people in the flyover states are human. They think that some people are more equal than others. And they really don't think that these people exist. They don't acknowledge them, and they don't. They're deplorable. And that's, well, they lost. You know, it's not only wrong, but it's a losing, you know, they've lost the narrative. They're no longer speak. They don't speak for Americans.
It's amazing because in corporate media speak, they would say, oh, that statement, that's so alt-right, which is totally wrong. I mean, have they read Professor Peter Dale Scott or have they read Chris Hedges? Huh? These are deep liberal ideas and, you know, they're not alt-right. They're anti-corporate media. But if you disagree with them, then you're in the KKK. You know, that's the kind of levels that they've stooped to. They're just weasels at this point.
It's very funny because it seems to me that whichever party is in charge becomes the evil party. You know, certainly when W was in charge, there was no question that he and his neocons in the Republican Party were the bad guys. And it was very easy for me, having been brought up a liberal, to hate these people.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I did. And I mean, I think that what the crimes that they did in the wars of aggression are worthy of my hatred. But now that the power has been in the hands of the Democrats, they've become the bad guys. And that really just shows you that we live in a country that has it. There's no real difference. It's whoever's in charge is being dictated to by the deep state, which is really controlled by the central banking system and then the corporate interests who are aligned with the central banking system. And that would be defense contractors and any really super large industries.
What do you think is behind the big anti-Russia push? You know, we have this absurd CIA assessment that said Russia interfered in the U.S. election. They don't cite any evidence. They just cite a pattern of activity. The media went crazy with this. The Clinton campaign was giving the media points about Russia this, Russia that. And you can go through all of these campaign people on the Democratic side. It was like they were all working off the same Russia thing. They looked like, you know, they were just repeating these points. It was almost pathetic. What is the thrust behind Russia? I mean, Russia, you know, is a major power, has nukes, you know, what is it that they're willing to play with their relationship with Russia? What is going on there?
I'll tell you what it is. The Russia is one of three large economies on Earth that is not controlled by the central banking system. And the other two countries are China and Iran. And previously, many of the Islamic governments of the world were also not part of the central banking system. And actually some tried to, there was a North African alliance that was all the states of, you know, the Islamic states of on the Mediterranean, southern Mediterranean coast, and Saudi Arabia. And
I think Libya was in there too, weren't
absolutely.
They?
Absolutely. And so they were trying to break up. Some of them were already in the central banking system, and they were trying to break out of it, and they were punished. We punished them. That's what Hillary did. She carried out the agenda of the central banking system by taking out, and previous to that, obviously, Bush Jr. Took out all of these Islamic countries because there's also another element is that under Sharia law, you can say, you know, all you want about the things that aren't so great about it, but to them, interest is usury, and it's a sin. And so Sharia banking does not have interest, and that doesn't fly with the central banking system. And so the last few countries in the world that were not in the central banking system, like Yemen and Afghanistan, you know, not really large economies, are now part of it. And Syria is still fighting against it with the help, guess what, of Russia, which is one of the three large economies that is still not under the control of the central banking system.
And they have to get them in.
And that's why there's saber rattling with China, which seems really crazy on its face. I mean, they're our largest trading partner. all of our businesses have relocated our manufacturing to China. We buy all the stuff, you know, we set them up to make all our stuff for us, and we buy it from them, and there's like saber rattling in the South China Sea or whatever, and it just doesn't make any sense. What has China done, you know, that's so horrible or any worse than anything that we do? And it has to do precisely with this. They are not part of the central banking system, and maybe part of the deal about sourcing and our manufacturing base to China included something where they would become part of it, but they didn't do it, and maybe that's why, you know, there's the new John Pilger movie that I haven't seen yet, that's called, it's about the coming war with China. Mm-hmm. So what you have Trump saber rattling with Iran, you have the Democrats saber rattling with Russia, and then you have John Pilger talking about how the real war is going to be with China. Certainly it is the largest economy on the planet now.
Well, it's interesting because you could say the Obama setup was very sort of favorable to China, and then the Trump setup coming in, and the Obama setup is also very anti-Russian, to the point where in the past 6 months they've gone into Cold War 2.0 mode and been pathetic. But then you have Trump coming in, and Trump is much more pro-Russia, has a much better warm relationship with them, but he's very anti-China.
Yes.
So maybe that's where the trend is going.
Let's just shift it to somewhere else, because at the end of the day, the people who are really controlling, or trying to, are the central bankers, the based in Basel, Switzerland. And so it's kind of like a, you know, an old burlesque feather dance. So, okay, one guy will talk about Russia, but the other guy will talk about, you know, Iran, and the other one will talk about China. You know, they got to get them. They want to get them. They want to get them, all three of them, but they got to start somewhere. And maybe the Russia thing wasn't working. It lost. I think we also just dodged the bullet of a, you know, 70% population reduction of the planet that could have happened if Hillary had been allowed to, you know, carry out her agenda, which was anti-Russia.
No question. What she was supposed to deliver in getting in there was a war with Russia. I mean, that's what they were building up to. And it seems like NATO and everyone else are all disappointed because, you know, meet the new boss. He doesn't want to go in and sort of fence in Russia and take them on or have skirmishes over Syrian airspace. So I think that's pretty major.
Well, there was a poll taken like about a month or 6 weeks before the election of Europeans, and they're not concerned about Russia. The polls said, you know, they're not threatened or in any way menaced by Russia. What they were afraid of was all of this military buildup that was happening. As you know, with the United States, I'm forgetting what the name of the operation is now, but all of the Baltic states and Poland were doing exercises and installing an alleged anti-nuclear defense shield from Russia, but it can just as easily turn into a first strike capacity right on the border of Russia.
Wow.
You know, Russia is ringed now with NATO nuclear warheads. That's what was done over the past summer. That was accomplished. And all these troop exercises practicing for the deployment of these weapons is what happened this summer. So, you know, I'm really glad that Hillary didn't get elected. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, with no doubt about it. And I think you helped in that regard as well, just by reporting honestly on what was going on there. Mm-hmm. No, we dodged one kind of a bullet. I don't think there's any question about that.
Right. The bullets are going to come from another angle. Okay, that didn't work. We still need to take out, according to the central bankers, still need to take out China and Iran. And you hear Trump spouting the Iran thing and the China thing. So,
well, you know, you mentioned earlier that Hillary came out in purple and gave this speech the other day about fake news. But one of the things we know about Soros is that he has these different color revolutions, like the orange revolution.
Mm.
So we do see something with her as the kind of the head of it, which is these, you know, from the Stein voter recount of these states, which was bizarre. And, you know, so you go there, the anti-Trump riots, the inauguration march that they're planning. This is all very Soros-esque. So we're looking at a purple revolution here?
That seems, I think you might be onto something, because in her concession speech, she was wearing purple and Bill was wearing a purple tie. And yeah, when she reemerged in purple again, maybe the new, you know, purple's the new black. I don't know.
Right. You see it. But how are you seeing these recounts, marches, he's not my president, Snowflake, you know, the whole thing? How's that feeling to you? It's pretty unusual.
Well, I think that we're looking at a few things. I think that there might be paid. Some people are on the take. I don't know if you've seen that footage. It's incredible. You should run it. Of the buses in Chicago, there are at least 100 huge buses that each hold 100 people. You know, lined up to this was during Trump's rally early on. During the campaign in Chicago, where there was some violence.
So these were disruptors who were bussed in?
Yes, like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them.
Hmm.
You know, in these brand new, spanking clean, brand new buses. And it was quite amazing.
And when you think about Soros-style activity, it's very disruptive. You know, we saw that some of those riots, like in Portland, got out of hand. They destroyed property. Pretty dangerous stuff. And all for what? Because somebody else won? That doesn't make any sense.
It really is. It's sad. I mean, either they're really being paid, or the degree of mind control is so complete that it boggles the mind. But you also have to think, because really what we're looking at is millennials. And they're getting a lot of, you know, bad rap from Gen Xers like me or whatever, but and older, because to me it seems like what people should really be protesting are all of these illegal wars that the United States has been engaging in. Hillary has killed more Muslims than Donald Trump or ever has or ever will.
Mm-hmm.
And for them to be focusing on he's not my president when this is a person who's like directly responsible for 500,000 deaths in Libya alone.
Right. Yeah, you know, I see what you mean.
How can they be with her? I don't get it. It's because they actually follow the mainstream media. They have been propagandized to a fare thee well. And one wonders if it's going to stay that way, if they're going to wake up. And this, I found this very strange, because you'd think that, you know, WikiLeaks and hacking and things like this would be attractive to millennials, that this would be, you know, like the something that young people would think is cool and important, you know, in unmasking the incredible depravity and corruption in our government. And they don't care about that. They care that, you know, the lady didn't win for president. I mean, I don't even know where to put it. It doesn't make any sense to me. You know, as a lifelong liberal myself, I don't understand where they're coming from. And so that's a problem. I need to understand it.
Yeah, that's a great point, actually. Wow. Well, we see the mind control aspects in play there, and also the conditioning around this political correctness. So it's producing a kind of Pokemon hysteria.
And then there's a whole other thing, too, is that this the millennials are at a complete financial disadvantage compared to any other generation. It's, you know, the empire has peaked. These people are still living with their parents, you know, they're not going to move out at the rate things are going, the way things are being automated and whatnot. I mean, unless they'll take jobs building highways for Trump and the wall and whatever, which, you know, I don't care about the wall. I mean, that's not, I didn't vote for Trump because I want a wall and I have a big issue with immigration. I just really could not have somebody of the depravity and criminality of Hillary in office, and just more of the same. And of course, you know, we've seen some glimpses of that with the Podesta emails. It's just, it's mind-bending how low, how incredibly depraved and lacking in humanity these people truly are. And it really does lead one to believe that they truly might be Satanists, and that they might really view the sacrifice of 500,000 Libyans as a sacrifice that they are gaining energetic benefit from on some level.
Oh, well, you're really connecting some dots there. And of course, mentioning Podesta, there's a Pandora's box. As we know, his emails were the targets of these hacks during the campaign. When we come back, we'll go deep on the why of that question and the bizarre incident of someone letting a shot off in this pizza place at the center of some seedy allegations. Still, though, that's distraction. After all, what is Podesta really known for? He's the one high-level figure that people associate with UFO disclosure. So this story goes deeper than we can imagine. And when we come back, we'll get into that. Final round of part one here with Alexander Bruce. Stay with us.
For more interviews, special reports, and documentaries, visit darkjournalist.com today. Tell us what's on your mind on Twitter, at Dark Journalist. Dark Journalist. Go for truth in 2017. The deepest questions, the biggest secrets, the darkest mysteries. Dark Journalist. Go for truth. With top guests like Graham Hancock.
Graham, how do we as a society escape the grip of the deep state in the 21st century?
Rather than spending trillions of dollars every year on building up our armies and our weapons of mass destruction and creating a climate of hatred and fear and suspicion, we should be uniting as a human race.
Catherine Austin Fitz.
Catherine, what is the issue that's holding us back and destroying prosperity?
We have a system which is got a negative return on investment. It's killing human productivity, and where it's going is inhuman.
Linda Moulton Howe.
Linda, you've been fighting against secrecy your whole life. How are we doing in this battle?
There is a kind of energy and synergy that you and I have because we are both trying so hard in so many facets to get to the bottom of what is the truth.
Dark Journalist. Go for truth. Visit darkjournalist.com and subscribe now for a special winter discount available for just $39 for one full year. You'll receive exclusive member benefits, including access to the complete high-quality audio archives to stream or download at your convenience, and subscriber-only content, including bonus show material. Sign up for our free newsletter to stay updated on the latest shows. Dark Journalist. This is the year. Now is the time.
You know, we need dark journalists, so just keep doing what you're doing.
Join us now and go for truth.
And we are back. This is Dark Journalist, and I'm speaking with the publisher of the ForbiddenKnowledgeTV.net website, Alexandra Bruce. Alexandra's been running some cutting-edge content with her commentary there for quite a few years, and her recent work is more timely than ever. Now, one of the things that we have in common is that we see a bigger picture in the political theater that's happening. And this relates to advanced UFO technology, free energy. These are the major features in that wall of secrecy in official circles. And that leads us to John Podesta, who is publicly demanding the truth about the UFO phenomena. But what's the real angle here? Now, Alexandra, you mentioned Podesta there before we went to break. Of all the things that came out of Pizzagate, and of course anyone can go back and forth on the significance of the facts there, but certainly we know in political circles there are deep ties to ritual abuse and pedophilia. It's not a very pretty picture, but there it is. A look at the Franklin case, Denny Hastert. I mean, there's many examples of this. But in any case, they took this guy, this, I'll call him the linoleum shooter, and he walks into the pizza place and shoots into the floor, oddly enough, gives himself up, gets arrested. You know, and witnesses didn't actually hear him shoot, oddly enough. And the media pounced on it. You know, oh, this is because he was influenced by conspiracy thinking. I mean, this is ridiculous. Even assuming this character was a legitimately random guy walking in there, which I don't even think he was, And actually, you can tell us a few interesting details about him.
Well, he has an IMDb page. He's an actor. His father is an actor and weapons expert who has probably, I think he's probably offered weapons support on feature films. And so the son was trained in the use of weapons. He made one shot to a linoleum tile on the floor, basically, or, you know, or whatever floor the floor was made of. So this kid made one shot to the floor, and that was it. And then, and there were a lot of weird things around that whole case. Also, the traffic camera that's always been there was moved from its location, I think, like the previous day. And then where they moved it, actually sort of, he was sort of half blocked by a traffic light for a lot of that footage. And I mean, it really, it looked very canned. It looked like an extremely canned event. I mean, how convenient that he's, you know, he was a crisis actor.
Right.
You know,
right.
He's probably paid. And I mean, the more you look at everything around Hillary, it's just everyone is bribed and paid and there's nobody doing it because they really believe in it. Her, you know, anywhere near around her. This is one thing that I really love. This was something that came out. It's kind of, it's nasty. That came out of the Podesta emails was he was emailing with somebody with like an assistant at the Clinton campaign office. And he was saying, you know, the assistant was complaining, you know, she's been acting like a retard ever since she had the concussion. And he's saying, yeah, you know, she kind of, she's got it. Can somebody like tell her to take a bath? She smells like a combination of cabbage, urine, and farts.
Oh, there's true respect for you.
Who are working for her, who are like her in her campaign stuff, you know.
Right, right.
And that's the way they speak about her. So that just gives you an idea of like
the deep abiding respect and admiration is touching her. Unbelievable. So let's take a look at the media narrative that they constructed in the wake of this odd incident. So it basically went like this. This guy saw this Pizzagate conspiracy online. And of course, oddly enough, you know, just previously Reddit had shut down a Pizzagate subreddit. And one of the things that the CEO did was to forge his Reddit users' comments. And this was shocking. You know, he turned them into vicious anti-Trump comments instead of anti-Podesta, anti-Hillary entries or comments critical of him, and he was caught. And, you know, he went on to admit it, and he said, okay, you know, I'll try not to do that in the future, but you guys were getting pretty mean attacking me and so on. So I was shocked, actually, because, you know, this is the CEO of Reddit, faking comments. They have millions of users, and here he is attributing these comments to known Redditors. Now, that's fake. And he was actually impersonating his users. So that's really, really strange.
Yeah, that's really, it's awful. I mean,
really incredible.
Is he getting paid for that? I mean, you know, one wonders because she has so much money. You know, she can pay people to do stuff like that. He might have gotten paid to do that.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And, you know, I enjoyed doing the Reddit AMA sessions, and we had thousands of people who showed up for the last one that I did over there. And it was great doing that kind of back and forth. And, you know, we take certain things for granted when we use these sites that the people controlling them won't write fake entries or put our names on them. So, you know, it's really outrageous behavior. And I think he should be removed.
But how do you remove the CEO?
That's true. But if someone like, you know, the CEO of Twitter, for example, started to forge tweets of political enemies, he'd be out of there fast if he was caught. You know, it's beyond unethical. It's unimaginable in the internet age to have that happening. So, you know, it makes it even harder to trust these sites.
Well, but the CEO of Twitter did stuff. I mean,
he did.
He deleted accounts of Pizzagate supporters. Mm-hmm. So, and then, of course, you know, I want to tell you that I basically the fake news campaign was rolled out on the Monday after Thanksgiving weekend. And over that weekend, I had numbers that were 1/6 of a bad day. My traffic was so low that I didn't even get upset. I was like, it was so odd. I just thought something is wrong with the count. I don't know what's happening. You know, it's like just wrong. And then immediately this fake news thing starts to come out. And immediately my stepfather sent me an article. He was right on it that day. you know, and the New York Times, you know, did the first one, and then they did the follow-up with, you know, how real people get hurt by fake news, the Comet Pizza guy, you know, the owner of the pizza shop.
And you've had to weed through this, where people think, you know, they have superior real information, you know, they're smart and informed because MSNBC told them that fake news all emanates from some teenagers in Macedonia making a bundle as webmasters, you know. Sorry to bust your bubble, MSNBC, but for every site doing that, there are hundreds of legit alternative media websites like Forbidden Knowledge TV, like Solari.com, like Giza Death Star, like DarkJournalist.com, and they're exposing your corporate fake news, like the Russians invaded our election, for example. So, you know, these companies, they really need to see how bad their conspiracy theories are. You know, keep running ads from military contractors like Boeing and pretending the Russians did it. You know, it's pretty pathetic stuff.
Right.
But we still see these defenders of the mainstream media.
Right. People, because it's the New York Times, and of course, highbrow, classy people read the New York Times, of course.
Right, yeah.
And it's pathetic. It's so sad that people don't know how to think for themselves. They really think that somebody else has to tell them what's going on when, unfortunately, freedom isn't free, and I guess knowledge isn't either. You have to work. You have to work to know what's going on. You have to vet and or else, you know, people like me who are willing to do that and who think it's important and who you're going to, you know, if you're going to trust me to do that or others, you know, there are certainly excellent people in independent media who I trust. And I know that aren't fudging the news. That's why, you know, I kind of live in this world where people really are of integrity. And so when I read the stuff that's happening or when I see what's happening on television, I can't believe it. It's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing how completely manipulated and false the stories are.
That's true. Well, if you don't use corporate speak and don't accept the official story, you're a racist, sexist conspiracy monger,
right.
I guess.
And I mean, I even had to defend myself in my own family. You know, like, I didn't vote for Trump because I'm sexist or racist. You know, I'm not a racist. It's like ridiculous.
No,
you know, it's absolutely absurd. And so then, you know, it was nice that my stepbrother replied, well, you know, because he was like, I feel like I don't even recognize my own country that people could actually vote for such a man. You know, he's so brainwashed into the Hillary is the good person, which, I mean, anyone who scratches just like a millimeter beneath the surface of her talk, because she'll say anything. I mean, I don't even feel like she's worth discussing anymore. She's gone. She's lost. She's fired. There's nothing more to say about it.
I think that's the word, L-O-S-T. All of these people, they have to get very acquainted with that word because she lost. That's pretty much where that election ended. If you want, I mean, you got another election in 4 years, but hey, that's it, you know. And so, you know, you can recount or march all you want. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, you know, you should be concerned about the transition of the presidency. You know that when W or Obama got in, for example, you looked at it a certain way and certainly weren't happy, but, you know, you got on with it.
Well, I mean, I voted for Obama the first time and I certainly didn't want Mitt Romney. So I didn't vote the second time.
Right.
So I was like, I did prefer Obama to Mitt Romney. But you know, so this is just to make clear that
it's hard to blame you for that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and then before that, John McCain, I mean, but still, I mean, Obama back then was like this rock star who was funny and articulate and, you know, cool. And
definitely. You know. But he became a clerk for the bankers pretty fast.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No, and I had read, my sister had sent me his Dreams of My Father, and it's incredibly well written. You know, even though maybe he didn't write it, it's a really well written book. And I admired that too. And I, you know, I was really moved. I wept when Obama was elected, you know. I thought it was an incredible victory, you know, like, we're in a post-racial America, hallelujah. And it just seems like throughout his tenure, racial divisions have erupted that haven't existed since, like, the late 1950s or something. Mm-hmm. It seems like he's taken us way back to some pre-civil rights era
It's a great point, actually. And the thing about Obama that is confusing in a way is I can't remember a single initiative where he went into the inner cities to develop a jobs program or put his political capital on the line. Besides throwing food stamps at every problem for the poor, I can't think of anything that required leadership or courage. And as a result, he hasn't helped those inner city communities at all. There was no great focus on that.
No, not at all. In fact, there was a study. Black Americans or African Americans have not been so disenfranchised in the United States than they are today. They haven't been this disenfranchised, I think, since slavery times.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. One last thing about the election, though, I think it is important because it goes into this media narrative that we're seeing that's kind of overlapping since the election. It's about these comedy shows that coordinated with the Clinton campaign. And we got that through WikiLeaks, so it's not like somebody's theory. We have the emails. We see people like Colbert, for example, or John Oliver coordinating and saying, like, you can design the set. What are the questions you want us to ask? That kind of thing. So it's already out there. It's a done deal. The question is, when you see that, you realize just how much of the media is controlled beyond just the news or CNN or, you know, your typical reporting. It's getting into you even when you sit down to watch comedy, when you go to a Hollywood movie, whatever it is. And it's this whole propaganda machine. And it's a propaganda machine of the left. Mm-hmm. But that machine is working itself through. And we saw that a good example because all those people were lined up behind Clinton during the election.
I think that, that's been the case for a long time. Lorne Michaels, producer of Saturday Night Live, this is a total Democrat, and everybody, all these shows are pretty much shot in New York City where everyone's a Democrat. The producers are Democrat-leaning, and so the shows have always been like that. But these emails show, I think, more is how unfit Hillary is, and that they need everything to be scripted for her because she's not going to be able to function. You know, she can't just like do it on the fly. They need to really, really, really rigidly script everything to work for her. Otherwise, it's not going to, it won't come off. So I think that's more what those things reveal than the collusion. Yeah, the collusion has always been there, but it didn't need to be as intense because the candidates were actually functioning units. Mm-hmm. That's not the case with Hillary, you know?
Oh, not even close.
Yeah, she's not even worth talking about anymore.
Well, but no, absolutely. And yet the overlap from what the comedy shows coordinating with a political organization the way that they were and getting those favors, I don't think that, you know, people think that those shows aren't liberal, but just see it that up close, which is, you know, we're going to help you this much, and then you're going to be like an honorary member of the Clinton Foundation or something like that. That's important because we have to know that our comedy is not manipulated. So, it's an important thing, I think, to keep in mind.
No, especially because comedy so often functions as social criticism. And then it's just, again, it's like propaganda comedy. I mean, how low can you go?
It's pathetic. It's pretty bad.
Pathetic.
Now, I want to mention a couple of people here. David Brock is one who's a founder of Media Matters, and he's very aptly described by former CBS reporter Cheryl Atkinson as a right-wing assassin turned left-wing assassin, which I think is a great description. And, you know, he has this history with National Review also, but recently on Dan Rather's show, you know, he of the no conspiracy and JFK assassination legacy for 50 years. So Brock goes on Rather's show and says fake news is an existential threat to democracy.
Wow.
Yeah, that hysterical.
Well, you know, it's an existential threat to him.
Yeah.
You know, and he's been institutionalized, you know, with a nervous breakdown before. And he is the boyfriend or maybe ex-boyfriend of the owner of the pizza shop, who I won't mention.
Right.
And so it hit home with him. And, of course, you know, maybe he's really good at making histrionic statements like that. he had to pay off he called it blackmailing or payoff or whatever to his previous boyfriend, $850,000.
Amazing.
To his former live-in love, because, you know, when he found out that he was dating the pizza shop owner. So
Issues there, for sure. Well, these establishment figures are nothing to write home about on the ethics front, for sure. Yet they want to be perceived as these guardians of the news. And as that facade falls away, they're getting ugly and trying to take aim at the independent media. We've also heard of some financial steps they're taking. And in this case, it's RT that's a target, right?
I think it was like 2 months ago that, RT's headquarters, I think, are in London. They have offices in other, like in LA and New York and stuff, but their main headquarters are in London. And their bank notified RT 2 months ago that they would no longer be processing their transactions as of the end of this year, at the end of December. And I think it's part of, trying to block fake news. You know, to me, like, RT is one of the best news outlets out there.
Yeah. Well, they put the corporate media to shame, and this is part of the problem.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if all British banks will stop them, and if RT will have to move to another country, or just go back to Moscow. I'm not sure.
Fascinating.
But notice that most of the hosts, are British.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you make a great point, actually, because in essence, what they did with RT by pulling the banking away from them is similar to what happened to you on a smaller scale when you were doing Google ads and they defunded the ads.
Yeah.
And not just you, but a number of alternative sites. That was a big struggle. And we lost a lot of alternative sites who were just set up on the Google money.
That's right.
And that's something that you've been talking about for a good year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do you see 2017 for the kind of alternative media you're doing? I mean, you're pressing forward with a lot of initiatives around news media, but how do you see it as in the environment? I mean, is the environment more unnerving somehow?
Well, it certainly is. You can see it. It's stacked against us, and that we have to invent new business models, and you have to be financed in order to, in order to operate, you need to find sources of financing who are behind you.
That is really true. You need to keep it sustainable as you take on the challenge of going independent. And I think people who view sites like yours or a show like this one can see that they really make the difference, and they get media that doesn't lie to them, which is very important. Now, you've done a great job of reinventing your site and expanding it to offer a wide range of topics. And I've seen that when something gets hot on Forbidden Knowledge TV, the internet finds it suddenly. So you do a great job of being the antenna for everything that's out there. Now, what I'd like you to do is to stick around so we can do part two and go deep on some exciting news stories, including this great mystery find at Antarctica. And this caused even astronaut Buzz Aldrin to collapse. So, I guess this episode we could say was top secret. Part two will be above top secret with some really fascinating things that we'll cover. Now, Dark Journalist subscribers will get that episode in their inbox next week. So now is the time to subscribe at darkjournalist.com. That discount is only good till the end of the month. And that helps support more shows of quality with information you really need. Alexandra's work is all at forbiddenknowledgetv.net. Alexandra, just mind-blowing stuff. Thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you. It's always great.
Thank you for joining me for this fascinating episode on the media attacks and the fake news fake-out with Forbidden Knowledge TV's Alexandra Bruce. You can find more special reports, deep interviews, and documentaries at www.darkjournalist.com. You can also subscribe here to our YouTube channel to receive the latest videos. See you soon.
Subscribe to our newsletter at darkjournalist.com to stay updated on the latest shows. Do you want me to replay that?
What? Oh, yeah. Replay the whole damn thing. Absolutely.